for taking a ride on the Freedom Train.
Your community resource podcast series.
I'm your host, Dose of Boyd, and as always, riding with me, my good man, Mr. Patrick Irvin. The Freedom Train is sponsored by PAX Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PAX Inc. is a black advocacy organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information, make sure you visit PAX Inc. at www.pactsinc.org. And once again, that's www.pactsinc.org. And also, while you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. That way you can hear your playback of your favorite shows, and you can sit back and listen to learn more about us. Also, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at _FreedomTrain. And one last thing, subscribe to the Freedom Train on Google Play Music and iTunes. And if you don't do none of that, I don't know how cool you're going to be in life, but you got to do that. You got to follow us. Pat, what's going on, Pat?
You know what? I'm a little disgruntled right now.
Why are you disgruntled?
Because, again, for the 72nd week in a row, you cut the music before I could freestyle.
Pat, I could clearly remember 2 weeks ago we gave you the floor to freestyle and you ain't do it.
That was a bad week. That was a bad week for me.
What was bad about the week? That you had gas or something?
Yeah, my stomach was hurting. I had just stopped my big toe. I had tripped outside taking out the garbage a couple minutes earlier.
Right.
It just didn't run the good. You know what? This ain't about you casting your level of ninja shade on me. This is about, you know.
Hey, man, look.
Who we got this week?
All I'm going to tell you is you make sure you have your cardboard box when I see you. It's straight electric boogaloo on you, because I'm going to give it to you, and you better have your little motorcycle gloves and your halfway cut-off T-shirts. I'm going to give you the business.
I already got my Jerry Curl wig in the back. You don't want it, bro.
There it is. All right, we're going to get to the real business, because you don't want it. This week on the show, we got three intelligent, lovely ladies who coming on to tell us about what they got going on. Miss Elise Bethel, Miss Stephanie Glenn, and Miss Mandy Buckner. Ladies, welcome to the Freedom Train. How y'all doing?
Good evening. Hey. Thank you for having us.
Hi, thank you.
Thank y'all for joining us on the Freedom Train. So before we get all the way into our questions, and we don't want to give all the information away, but could you ladies, one by one, give us a little brief introduction about yourself so I guess I know a little bit about you before we get deep into our questions?
Sure. I guess I'll start first. My name is Elise Bethel, and Pat, I like to freestyle too, so don't leave me out, y'all. Let's do it. T-shirt coming soon.
There you go.
My name is Elise Bethel. I am the founder of High Heel Hearts, a nonprofit organization here in Tallahassee, fighting the world of domestic violence. And I'm also the face, the lovely face of the new Elise Bethel brand. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, next.
Hey, I am Stephanie Glenn, Tallahassee native, born and raised on the South Side. Woohoo!
Yeah.
I am the founder of the newly formed nonprofit organization entitled The Violently Uncommon. So we have done our unofficial launch, but stay tuned because we have some big things in store for the official launch. So I'm really happy to be here and just talk with you guys and share my heart. So thank you for having me.
No problem. And last but definitely not least, Mandy Button. What's up?
What's up, man? It is Happy Buckner. I am also a Tallahassee native. I wasn't born in Tallahassee, but Tallahassee raised me. So it's a joy to be on the show with my homeboys. I am the owner and CEO of Hope Life Media, and I do graphic design. I do business strategies from a faith-based perspective for aspiring entrepreneurs, and I am the gym teacher, GEM teacher, on my site, mandybuckner.com, and I share gems and inspiration for Christian women, and that's kind of what I do over there. So, again, like the rest of the ladies, I appreciate you guys having us on the show tonight, and I'm excited to be here with you guys.
No problem. And now our studio audience want to show y'all some love for coming on the show. Yeah. That's how we do it. We got a little dude in a little halfway T-shirt that don't go all the way down because his stomach too big holding up our sign. So, you know, we ready to go. All right, Pat, you know how we do. You got the first question. Let's kick this thing off.
All right, so I got in trouble for not staying on script at least for the first 10 minutes of the show, so I'm going to do better. So, starting with Elise.
Okay.
Can you give our listeners background information about yourself? You know, how did you get into entrepreneurship? How did you start your organization? Why did you start your organization? The name of your organization, why you chose that name. Pretty much give us everything that we would need to write a book about you and then stalk you for the rest of your life.
Oh, no stalkers, please. No stalkers. I am accepting fans, though. I definitely am accepting those.
He's crazy.
But, so a little bit about myself. I'm from a town called Gifford, Florida. Most people do not know where that is. And if you know where that is, I mean, I'm going to be shocked. However, this is a small town on the other side of Orlando. Let's say that. south of Orlando. And basically, I am a mother, I'm a wife, I'm a sister, I actually am a mother of six, four of which I birthed, and then I have two bonus babies that I received during marriage from my wonderful husband. And how did I get into entrepreneurship? It has always been in me. Like, my dad was the number one hustler, like, from selling mangoes to limes to painting, I mean, whatever, fixing cars, a pastor, whatever. So it has always been in me to be my own manager, my own boss, you know, CEO, and have my own. And so I think he laid the foundation. However, through the trials and tribulations that the Lord allowed me to go through, then birthed High Heel Hearts, which, it's funny how I came up with that name, because I used to always love heels, and this gym teacher that's on the phone, y'all, she real legit with it, honey. I was talking to her, and I was like, hey, you know, this is what I want to do, but I'm scared. You know, fear comes in, and I was like, I don't know what to do. And, honey, she got my life together, and I'm talking about none other than Mandy Buckner. Got my life together, was like, hey, this is what you need to do, boom, 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 bam. And High Heel Hearts was birth. I mean, she really pushed me into walking into my calling. And originally, you know, like I said, what we do is we really help families that are affected by domestic violence. We have a lot more programs and, you know, an academy coming and some different things that's coming in 2017. So that's just a little bit about me. I won't take up all your time. So, you know, they meet fans, too. So go ahead. Go ahead and meet fans.
Y'all can tell ain't that all my confidence, right? Okay.
That's cool. All right, Stephanie, same question to you. You know, give our listeners a little more background information about yourself. How did you get into entrepreneurship, and why did you start your organization, Divinely Uncommon? Anyway, and how do I get to be Divinely Uncommon?
Well, first of all, you need to know that you were already born divinely uncommon.
That's
you
what I'm
are,
Come on, man.
You are set apart for your purpose. It is specific, and it is just for you. So just being born, you are already that. So let's get that out of the way. just a little bit about myself. Like I said, I am Stephanie Glenn, born and raised in Tallahassee, Florida, on the South Side, went to Ricketts High School. Just kind of growing up, I was always different, so to speak, or weird. So I didn't have a lot of friends because I was just always kind of in my own world, right? So get older, and I get really into the church, get saved, and I start to notice that there is this huge disconnect between the church and the black community. there's like this gap. When I was growing up, the church was highly respected. People came to us for things. They depended on us. And as I got older, I noticed that people started to pull away from the church. And so I would hear people complain about it and go on and on and on. And so basically that's how Divinely Uncommon was birthed, because I decided to be the change that I wanted to see in the church. So what we do, or should I say what we will be doing after the official launch, is less about entrepreneurship and more about community service, more about servicing my community and being meeting the needs, meeting people at their point of need. So it's twofold. One side is evangelism, because I am a Jesus junkie. I love Jesus. I love everything about Jesus. So
yes.
one side of it is sharing the gospel and sharing the love of God. But the other side of it is servicing my community. How can I build my community? How can I attack those issues that the church ignores? So through Divinely Uncommon, we plan to attack some big issues, the poverty in our community, the crime in our community, things like mental health that people tell you just to pray about when you really need to go and get help for it. So we plan to be that bridge between the church and the community. So that's who we are, and that's what we do.
Yes, ma'am. That's what I'm talking about. I like that. Pat.
What up, homie?
They gonna help make you a better person. That's why I put them on the show today. So we're going to end this year right.
I'm going to intercede on Pat's behalf.
Thank you.
Somebody
Joe,
fill in the gap for Pat.
Joe is a professional hater. He get paid to do this. Like, it's, like when he go to work, he got to fill out a sheet that lists how many people he hated on the previous day.
So? And, hey, at least I got a record. At least I'm keeping up, and I know my progress.
I got some words for you, but the ladies on the line are keeping me from. You know what? Next question.
Don't worry about it. Let's go work on our rap. Just go back to working on our rap.
So, Ms. Buckner, same question to you.
All right, well. For those listening that are from Tallahassee, my name is Amanda. My name then was Amanda Corbin, for those who, you know, are like, who is this Mandy Buckner? But unlike Elise, I'm not accepting fans. I'm not accepting any applications right now. I'm booked. I'm full. I can't take any more fans. I don't have any more room in the balcony. I'm good on this end.
Well, y'all could be team elite.
I have always had a heart for entrepreneurship, but mostly because of two things. One, I'm a creative. I'm an idea lady. I always have ideas. And two, I'm a family girl. I love being a wife. I love being a mother. And entrepreneurship allowed me to be able to be more present. I would say that. When I used to work for the state, you know, I would be so sad when my children would have things going on at school and I couldn't participate, or, you know, I might request to be off to attend something one of my children were having, and they're like, well, you just requested off or a longer lunch the other day. I'm like, well, I have two kids, you know, and I was just tired of, you know, having to keep explaining myself. And so I had started a event planning business. That's one of the things that I'm passionate about, doing events and things like that. And in doing that, I wanted to expand and add a catering component, so I started going to culinary school to add a catering component. And that's where I met my husband, and then we decided we wanted to start a catering business, and then it just kind of spilled over from there. And so I guess I would consider myself a serial entrepreneur. I love to start businesses. I love entrepreneurship and business ventures. I can't say that it's made me a millionaire, you know. I can say that it's kept my lights on a few times, you know. But it's been a journey. And through that journey, I've met several women who want to start businesses, who want to get into entrepreneurship, who want to learn how to use their creativity to make it profitable for them. And that's actually kind of how the gym teacher started, because I use a faith-based approach. And just in meeting all these women, I've coached girls track, I've coached girls dance, I've coached women through divorces because I was once divorced, and just through different transitions in life. And so doing the gym teacher just kind of allowed me to bring all of those things that I had experienced and that I loved, bring it all together in one pot and kind of feed everyone out of that same pot. So that's how I ended up here.
Cool. That's what's up. Y'all make me want to be somebody in life. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes. You better wake up and pay attention.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. All right. So we got background information on all three of you ladies, and all three of you are doing great things, and I'm proud of y'all because y'all my homies, and we come from the same areas and stuff, so that's what's up. But so as far as you three collaborating, how did you three initially meet, and how long have you three been collaborating each other and supporting each other on different projects and just supporting each other as a whole?
Okay. Well, and this is Elise. Me and Stephanie became social media besties, right? We had never physically met, but instantly, like, our spirits connected. And you wouldn't know it unless we told you, but you would think we've been knowing each other all of our lives. Like, I mean, I think we might have been friends on social media for a year. I actually ran into him and was like, oh, that's Stephanie from Instagram. And we hugged and we talked. And from there, our foundation started. Mandy, actually, that's my brother's rib. So when I initially met her a few years back, we instantly connected as well. And as far as support, it has been from day one. The type of person I am, I'm going to support you till you give me reason not to, and I'm still going to support you even then. Just might not be, you know, right next to you. It might be, you know, far back. But yeah, the collaboration was just, it's always been there from day one for me. I don't know about you girls. I'll let you testify.
So like Elise said, this is Stephanie, by the way, we literally became social media besties. Like, literally, she became my heart through Facebook. And so meeting in person was just like, when we embraced, I knew that she was the person that she had presented herself to be. She was just genuine and warm and loving, and it was just awesome. And what's crazy is I've shared more with Elise than I have people I've known my whole life. Like, every step of the way of building the Volley Uncommon, she knows, she can tell you, she keeps my secret, and I just love her. and so she – thank you. Now, as far as the collaboration for the event, she kind of suckered me into it.
Meaning
she did not give myself or Mandy the opportunity to say no. It was like, hey, you're doing this, by the way. God bless you. We'll see you in December. And that was the end of it. For Mandy, I've known Mandy for like 72 years, literally. Like,
I know. Yeah.
Mandy knew me in my BC days, meaning before Christ. So, y'all, let us take a moment and pray, because she still loves me. but just in our adult life, she's been such a blessing. She actually designed my amazing logo, which I'll be releasing for the public to see very soon. So if you need a logo, you need to get at your girl. Well, wait a minute. She said she's not taking fans, so you might be too late.
Just be a customer. Don't be a fan.
No. Listen, all they have to do is contact me because I'm the plug. And
there you go.
I'm going to make sure they get to Mandy. Okay?
There you go. There it is.
See how it works.
Oh, man.
These ladies are awesome, man. They are just absolutely amazing. I'm glad to be able to collaborate with them because they are just some amazing, amazing women of God, and I love them.
That's cool. See, I was walking down the street one day, and I heard this dude hollering in the bushes. He was like, "Help, help!" And I looked over, and it was Pat, and he was stuck in the mud or something. He got attacked by some possums or something. I don't know what he was doing. And I had to fight off the possums and stuff like that, and I helped him out the bushes. And ever since then, we've been cool.
Joe, I'm trying to take the high road, and you don't realize
what Michelle,
the strength it took to hold back a your mama joke right then.
What Michelle Obama told you?
You know what?
When they go low, you go high.
Right now, you know what? Never mind.
It's wrong.
I had a phone call with Barry O as well. So, you know what? Joseph.
It's all good. I told our background story. Here it is. So,
let me tell our background story. That wasn't an accurate story.
Okay.
You don't want me to tell the real story.
Uh-oh.
Tell it. Well, you lucky it ain't about us right now.
Yeah.
All right.
So, self-love is the best love, and self-hate is what Joe ate last night.
Whatever.
So, the name of the event, self-love is the best love, that's the name of the event that you three are collaborating on.
Right.
Can you tell us why you three decided to collaborate on this particular event and give us some, you know, some details about what the purpose of the event is?
Okay, well, this is Elise again. This year has been a traumatic pregnancy for all of us, right? We've given birth to some great things, some of what you're seeing now and others that are coming soon. But through all of that, our experiences brought us closer, spiritually, mentally. Like we said, I mean, we even have a group where, you know, we pray for each other, we support each other, constantly encouraging each other. So I didn't just tell them that they were going to be a part of the event. You know, I was
yes,
like,
you did.
I'm sticking to my story. You have a chance. But in all seriousness, I was like, you know, Elise Bethel, the brand, is coming out, and I really have a passion for women and, you know, just our young girls and youth in general. And I was like talking to Stephanie. I was like, girl, the Lord laid this on my heart. I want to do this. And she was like, oh, I was like, girl, I'm going to need you to speak. Thank you. So from there.
Yeah, that's not telling her she had to do it.
No. You know, and then I said, Mandy, girl, listen what me and Stella are doing. We'll see you there. Come on. You know, let's join in. We're three for girl. Let's go. But, I mean, you know, honestly, I wouldn't have it any other way because we've been through the struggle together. Like, we know everything that each other's, like, our deepest secrets and trials that we've gone through this year. And so I wanted this contest to be a release for us as well. I mean, even though we've dealt with it, we've come through the fire, but I want to end this year with my girls, you know what I'm saying, side by side, walking hand in hand, getting ready to attack 2017. So the conference itself, I don't want to give too many details, but the whole purpose of this event is for women to recognize God first and to start loving themselves from the inside out. I think, you know, a lot of people have the notion like, okay, self-care is about, you know, going to get my nails done, going to get beautified, you know, getting a massage. And those are all great. But what happens when life hits you? What happens when, you know, the Lord allows those trials and tribulations to come in? So we really want to deal with that and give women the tools to be able to love themselves inside, and we'll worry about the rest later.
Cool. And so for all our listeners, self-love is the best love for Women's Only Self-Care Weekend. It'll be December 30th and December 31st. So December 30th is from 7 to 9 p.m. and December 31st is from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Yeah.
The Woodville Community Center, which is, 8,000 Woodville Road, Tallahassee, Florida, 32305, and it's a $50 registration fee. So, where can well people will visit your website for to register?
EliseBethel.com. The registration link is on there. You just click and go ahead and register. And please, y'all, we have limited seats available. So please go ahead and register on time. The last day to register is this Friday, okay, at midnight. So by Saturday, if you say, oh, man, you know, I'm going to do that, I'd rather you call me, inbox me. You should be following me already. If you're not, you know, come on, be with the in crowd. Come follow me at Elise Bethel. make sure you register by the 16th. And, I mean, come expecting a high time. I mean, these ladies, I mean, I'm ready to sit in their session. You know what I'm saying? I'm ready to be blessed and just, you know, don't come with your makeup and your face beat and stuff, because it's gonna be a mess. We're gonna have fun though.
That's cool. That's cool. So let me ask this to you ladies. Do you think within our society and within our culture that we have exists a certain level of toxicity that leads to people having negative self-ideas or self-images? And if so, can you give us some tips on how someone can build a healthy level of self-love within themselves?
I'm not going to lead this time.
Mandy, you lead.
Okay. I definitely think that within our culture that there is a certain level of toxicity among us, and it definitely affects the way that we feel about ourselves. It affects the way that we treat each other, because really how we feel about ourselves is what drives how we treat each other. You know, a lot of times when people have issues with you, especially women in our community, when they have issues with other women, it's when you get to the root of it, it's rarely about the other woman. It's really something that's going on within them, you know, and that's why this is so important. This self-love is so important, because I think that the media definitely plays a role, because it celebrates a certain look or glamorizes a certain look. And while a lot of women try to say they're not trying to be like anyone else, they're not trying to look like anyone else, I think deep down inside, because these images are celebrated, there's something in them that says, hey, I want to be celebrated too. Hey, I want someone to look at me like that. I want someone to reverence me in that way and give me that kind of attention. So maybe this is what I need to look like. Maybe this is how I should dress. Maybe this is how I should carry myself. This is how I should do my hair or how I shouldn't do my hair. And so I definitely think in our society it plays a huge role. And I also think that in our society, for some reason, our women have taken on a selfish mentality too. You know, you see people who look a certain way or carry themselves a certain way, and you assume things about them. You know, you assume that they have it all together, or you assume that their business is all together, or that they're this, or they're that, or that they want to take something from you. It's a lot of people who won't give or won't share, especially in the entrepreneur community, and all, as women are trying to, you know, get ahead, they won't share, they won't help one another because they think that the next woman is trying to take something from them. But again, that all comes back to how they feel about themselves, because the truth of the matter is, at the end of the day, I'm going to be Mandy, and you can't do what I do. You can't do it like I do it, and you can have the exact same idea I have, and our delivery is still going to be different because we're different. But more people need to embrace that, and it has to be a conscious effort. So for me, I would say that one tip I would give is to make it a conscious effort, because it's something that I deal with too, and I think all women struggle with. But if you make it a conscious effort to continually build yourself up, it gets easier. It gets easier. One thing I do is journal. I journal a lot. I write letters to myself. I talk to myself in the mirror. I do things that I like to do. I don't care if other people don't like it or not. You know, when I was coming up, it was hard for me because I was too white to hang with my black friends sometimes, but then I was too black to hang with my white friends. So I was kind of in the middle, like, you know, oh, you live down by the railroad tracks. You live by Holder Street Project, but you like going to the ballet? Yes. You know what I mean? And so I think that within our culture, it's just too much judgment going on when people don't understand, you know, people don't understand, you know. And I think that when you have a better understanding of who you are, it doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Right? You can still move on with your life. You can still live and walk in your purpose because you're rooted and grounded in who you are. And it doesn't, you know, you can embrace, you know, your unique, weird, whatever self, but it has to be a daily thing. It has to be a conscious effort. So I think that I love Elise's idea of bringing a self-care weekend to Tallahassee, and I think that that is super important. And one thing I would love to see women get out of it is to make it a habit, because you can't love anybody else, you know, until you get yourself right, until you know how to love up on you.
Right.
And
I'm going to just jump in real quick, just because it just fell on my heart, though. But everything that Manny said, I'm 100% behind. But gone are the days that people realize that it's okay to be you, like 350 pounds, like own it. You know what I'm saying? Own that and be confident within that. And teach the next person how to love themselves. Like right now we have the F It Up Challenge. We got all these other stuff. And it's okay. Like they spread like wildfire. You know what I'm saying? Like this is what we're teaching our children. Like it's okay to look and to do these things, you know what I mean? Who potentially, you know, these are older men that are looking at this, and these are people, you know, daughters that are exposing themselves. And who's standing up and saying, this is not the model for you to follow? Like, you know, I mean, but again, like Manny said, it goes back to yourself. And this is why, another reason why this is important, that we understand that we have to love ourselves inside out, and first, like I said, recognize that God made you who you are. You know, I mean, if you want to, you know, lose weight, that's fine. But He made you who you are, and it's okay, right where you are. It's okay. It's okay if you wear, like my dad had my mom when I was growing up. Lord Jesus, dress me in skirts down to my ankles. Like even when I dressed out in school, I had to wear culottes. You know, which are like, they look like skirts, but they go below my knees. I never got a chance to wear those cute little gym shorts that everybody else wore. And I hated it. You know what I'm saying? I was like, why are you doing this to me? However, you know, he was like, hey, you know, I'm not going to have my daughter, you know, exposed or whatever. He set that foundation. And you know, however I, you know, strayed away or whatever, it's still the same with my girls today. I teach them that, hey, look, y'all are queens soon to be. You know what I mean? And you need to... Everything you do, you need to make sure that, A, you love yourself. Well, A, you love God, you love yourself, and you act that way. You know, I mean, in whatever you do, do not ever let anyone, because even if I can't find you, you know, the Lord is looking at you. You know what I'm saying? And what you're doing. And we need to get back into that. Parents, we need to get back into showing our children what the prototype is going to be and what it should be, not what they're seeing on Instagram, what they're seeing on, you know, on, I'm talking about Yo MTV Raps. I don't even know what it is now, because, but, you know, what they're seeing on television, love and hip hop and all that stuff, that's not it. And, you know, it's sad that that's what our children and our future generations are looking at, that, okay, yes, to be a boss, you're going to have, you know, all these women and you got to all have all this money, but not necessarily so. I know a lot of millionaires who look worse than I do. I mean, they dress like as plain as they come. It's not about that. You know what I mean? They teach their children well. They teach their children about having the importance of having credit, you know, and that's what, you know, I want to set the tone with starting here, because if you feel good about yourself, then you will project that. And so that's what it's all about for me.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. But you made me think about the lack of what they call them, rites of passage programs, little initiatives that women like yourselves can be surrounded by young girls and not just, you know, not just have fun with them, but actually teach them real principles and things that can help them build that self-esteem and build that self-love. Because one of the things that Patrick and I talk about, we talk about it quite often on this show, is the toxicity within our culture that breeds the low self-esteem, but also the toxicity within our culture that breeds the violence and the underlying foundation of violence that's within our culture. And these things exist because certain mindsets still exist, and culture changes hasn't happened. So that's why I feel like with what you guys are doing, like, it's great because you get to give information to people who now, and I hope these people take this information and give it back to the younger generation, so these young girls can start getting a new way of thinking. And not say the old way of thinking is horrible, but I do think new things need to be incorporated for men and women. Because I know with Pat and I, our thing is we wanna deal with young men when we're talking about building self esteem and stopping violence against women. Because if men are violent against women and most of the violence are men, then we want to get with these men. So we want to be able to change the culture over here, but it has to be equal on both sides, and that's why I applaud what you guys are doing.
Absolutely, because women need to develop a culture that is unacceptable to be treated a certain way. And again,
absolutely.
That goes back to loving yourself. You know, when I really grasped loving myself, it was just a certain way I wasn't going to be handled. It's a certain way I wasn't going to be treated by a man, by a woman, children, anybody. It's just a certain way you're not going to handle me.
Because
I know what I'm worth. I know where I stand with me. You know, I know my position, you know. And and that's why this weekend is, this self-care weekend is so important. And like you said, reaching out to the people, the adults, the women who have the power to change the culture within their own home, and like Ellie said, to project that mindset. So,
awesome. So I guess it's my turn to answer, huh? do I believe there's a certain level of toxicity? Absolutely. So shameless plug moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks ago, I wrote this blog post called Perfection is an Illusion, right?
Right.
And in the post, I talked about how when you're not sure of who you are, you can be infected by what you see around you. So you start seeing this stuff on social media, and you see these things in your community, and because you haven't learned to love yourself, you haven't learned to love the person in the mirror, you think that you're supposed to emulate what you see. And because what you see is so toxic, you begin to live this toxic life thinking that you're going after something that's perfect, but it's an illusion. And I think for so long, especially since social media started, because I grew up in a very loving house. I am the baby and the only girl in my family. So I am, I'll say, overshadowed with love and affection in my family, being the only girl. So I was always told that I was beautiful, I was amazing, I was this, I was that, all these things. But as a black girl who didn't necessarily look perfect, when I got into the world told me something different. What helped me was what I was told at home. So I think it starts at home. If we don't start with our sons and our daughters young, being in their lives, being present in their lives, and teaching them who they are and what they can be, once the world and social media gets a hold of them, it's hard to reel them back in. It's really hard. So we have to start from the bottom when they are young, and really keep our eyes on them. As far as the community, Mandy said something that stuck out to me, and she talked about it in terms of entrepreneurship, where you have people who they have a certain thing, and they won't share it with you. I think within our community, sometimes we have people who make it, and they forget where they come from, and so you got out of the hood. You learn the formula for success. You took the formula and you left the hood and you never went back. How can our next generation know what the formula is if you don't take the time to go back and teach them.
Right.
So
right.
I think that we have done them a great disservice because society tells us that we should want the American dream, right? And so mm-hmm. chase it and we get it, or at least we think we get it, and then we leave the hood behind. And so that toxic culture just keeps repeating itself, and it keeps going down from generation to generation to generation. So they need to see us, strong women and strong men, standing in their purpose and showing them you can do this too, and I think that's important. So we have to just stay present in our community and present in the lives of these children, or else the world will lead them astray.
No, but what you understand is so like it's so potent because it's so true.
Yeah.
Like for years, you know, when you guys were talking about accepting who you are and owning it, you know, that's something that I struggled with for a long time because for those that don't know, I'm a special kind of black, normally prefaced with blue or purple. So I'm an extremely dark individual, and for years, as a child, that was something that like really bothered me. Like you know, your mom tells mm-hmm. you black of the berry, the sweeter the juice, but you'd be like, "Mom, shut up!
Yeah.
You're my mama. You're supposed to like
it's
me."
It's true, though.
Right.
It's true.
Right.
But then you know, so you deal with that, and then. You learn, you kind of like I'm at the age I'm at now where, you know, I love my skin. I love my color. I love
mm-hmm.
this. I love that. But if I had had that kind of confidence coming up, who knows what I would have become.
Wow.
Who knows
right.
what
right.
I backed off of because
yeah.
I was scared to make an appearance or draw attention to myself or whatever
yeah.
the case
wow.
might be. And even deeper,
yeah.
you know, we're constantly talking about Joe and I. It's wonderful to hear you guys echoing those points. We're constantly talking about how one of the biggest differences between a white community and a black community is that when a white kid wants to be a doctor, he can go next door and talk to a doctor. When a
wow.
black kid wants to be a doctor, he has to read a book or watch it on TV or, you know what I'm saying, he has to leave his community. There are no representations. Like you guys said, there's nothing in that community forum because
right.
we're constantly being told
right.
that a big part of the success equation for us is how far away from the hood have you gotten. So
yeah.
it's so powerful. And then yeah. on another note, when you were saying, own who you are again, I was like, you know what? I talk to myself as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I respond to myself, you know, and I have whole conversations with myself sometimes. And sometimes I even tell myself to do stuff wearing a dark hoodie, looking like a Sith Lord. Sometimes I do that. But you know what I'm saying? That don't make me crazy. You know what I'm saying?
It doesn't. It doesn't.
Right?
Not at all. Own it.
You have to affirm yourself.
You
got to. You have to affirm yourself. If you don't, no one else will. You have to do it.
Right, right.
And another thing that you made me think of, Pat, too, while we're on this, is that my youngest baby is dark skinned as well. And, you know, a lot of times he's like, oh, well, you know, they're children. You know, they're going to, you know, people are going to talk, you know, they're going to joke and they're going to pick on each other and stuff like that. But what really made me really hone in on this is that we had to have and talk with her about suicide at 7 and 8, you know, and I mean, it's nothing, something that we, you know, I've actually publicly shared, you know, certain family members know, but because children were, you know, saying, oh, well, you're not a part of that family because you're darker than the rest of them, or that's not your mom because you're darker than the rest of them, or, you know, you're ugly, or, you know, whatever, and, you know, I have to affirm her daily that she's a beautiful black princess, like, you know what I'm saying, daily.
Aww.
And it's gotten better, you know, but at the end of the day, guess what, I'm the first person that she's going to look for. So, like, you know, hey, if they say, mom, how do you do this, I don't know, baby, but we're going to find out together, and we need more of that. And that's what I'm challenging the mothers. I'm reaching back and saying to these young women, if you're going to mentor, if you're going to do this and stuff like this, we have to deal with these issues, and it is starting
uh-huh.
early. My baby was in elementary school when she came to, and she didn't even come to me.
she went to my oldest son and said, this is what I'm thinking about. And he pulled me to the side and said, Mom, listen, we need to have a talk. You know what I'm saying? And so it's starting early, but we need to set that tone with our children. We need to pay attention to their behaviors, to what's right. going on, and not just accept that, oh, well, they're acting out because of this. Something is going on. Mm-hmm. And correct. We need to be positive role models for our children, as and not even our children, because Joe and Pat, I'm sure with everything that you guys are doing, those young guys that you're talking to, those are like your brothers, your nephews, your cousins, mm-hmm. your children. You might not have any physically yourself, but we need to get back to those days where it was sister so-and-so seeing you doing something, and
right.
it was okay. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
don't curse in front of me. You're not going to do that. Pull your pants up. Put on a belt. You know, show these young girls that this is the way that you dress, and stop thinking that, okay, it's okay. We can be cool. You know, we could talk about the dab and all that other little stuff like that, but we really provide structure and knowledge to these kids, and to let them know it's okay at elementary on up, you know, to adults. Some adults, we still struggle with really accepting and loving ourselves. So, again, back to that, that's the whole concept that we want to get. But I just thought about that when Pat was talking about that. I mean, it's starting young, and we need to make sure that those that are really taking on this challenge to talk to our youth and to our adults, that we really stay committed to that, because there are people that need us.
That's true. That's true. And in addition to what you guys are doing, that's why I still think it's important for us as men to
yes.
Instill certain ideas and concepts in young men, because mm-hmm. it's still to me it's unacceptable still now to this day for our young dark skinned girls or even our young dark skinned boys to have to go through a certain level of treatment by other children because mm-hmm. of things that are passed down, because sometimes parents can unconsciously give those ideas and cues to their kids depending on, because mm-hmm. they don't know that their kids are watching them. Like even now, it's just something that I'm conscious of when I see young kids, is just reminding them about the culture, about the heritage. That's why I'm so big on us learning our own story, so we'll know that
yes.
beauty comes in all shapes, forms, and fashions, especially
yes.
on our side, that mm-hmm. we're all beautiful, and we need to support each other in that way. So
yes, absolutely.
So as black women who are entrepreneurs, what have been you guys' biggest obstacles that you've faced so far, and how were you able to overcome your obstacles to find the success that you have? Start with
definitely.
You, Stephanie.
Wait, I gotta go first this time?
Yep.
Yeah, girl.
The biggest obstacle that I've had to overcome is a desire to give up when something doesn't go as planned. When I want a certain thing and it doesn't go that way, and then I just get frustrated and I'm like, I quit, you know. I had to learn that nothing is perfect, and you have to embrace all parts of the journey, even the setbacks and the tough times, and knowing that my journey to forming my organization is not going to be like Elisa's, it's not going to be like Mandy's, and so I have to stay focused. I literally had to learn how to have tunnel vision and focus on my goal and not let outside things influence me, and also worrying about, you know, if people are going to support you. Listen, when you are living in your purpose, God will send who needs to be touched by what you're doing.
They did.
And so I had to stop worrying about or getting angry when people didn't support who I felt like I supported you.
Right.
Why aren't you here for me? And so for me, it's just staying focused and knowing that there are going to be some setbacks, but you have to keep going. And also knowing that nobody is going to work harder for Divinely Uncommon than Stephanie. You cannot expect someone to work overtime on your vision and get mad at them when they don't. It is your vision, and you've got to be willing to go through sleepless nights, missing things, whatever you need to do to work. Because sometimes we mistakenly put our baby in the hands of other people, and then
Uh-oh.
We get mad when they mishandle it. So you are the mother, you are the father. That is your baby, and you've got. you've got to handle it with care, because when it falls apart, it's on you. Everything that happens, good, bad, or indifferent, it is on you. It's your baby. So, you know, you have to be careful about who you share certain things with. You've got to be mindful about who you connect with. There are some people right now who can help me, but what they're doing doesn't line up with what I'm doing, so I can't accept that help. Even though it would be great for me, but it doesn't line up with the vision and the purpose for my organization. So those are just the things I had to overcome, just knowing that I'm going to have some setbacks. There'll be people who doubt me and won't support me. There'll be times when I want to give up, but I got to push through all of that and keep carrying my baby and nurturing my baby so that it'll grow.
Well, the doors of the church are not open.
Right. Shoot, I'm start calling you on Monday to get me hyped up. Shoot. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay. I don't even have nothing to say. I'm just second that.
But nah, that's cool. That's cool because I mean the level of confidence that you three have right now is amazing. And I'm one of the reasons why I wanted you three on here is so other women can see that working together, it can happen. Like black people,
right,
black women supporting each other, it can happen.
Right.
Ain't that right, Pat?
Oh man, I'm in love right now with the interview, all three of them. To be honest, I mean,
yeah.
She just cause, like the what you just said, especially about understanding that. Your fire will draw like flies, or your energy will draw the support of those that are ready. Like, it took me 10 years to learn that lesson.
Wow.
You know, like, I was getting mad at people for literally about 10 years before I realized, you know what? You know, maybe it's just not there for them to support right now. Maybe they just don't see what they need to see right now. So, you know, like, but like I said, it literally, I'm not even exaggerating, it literally took me 10 years to learn that lesson.
Wow.
So, you know, it's pretty amazing just listening to you guys, especially to hear from women, because our women do need real role models. They do need real people that can speak to them, that care about them genuinely, that ain't trying to, you know, because I don't care what nobody says. The black woman is the most manipulated and abused woman on the planet right now. Especially when you look at how many industries are marketed towards her to get her dollars that don't give her anything in return. You know how many people are looking to take advantage of her on so many levels, and that capitalize off of her feeling vulnerable, off of her insecurities, off of her weaknesses. You look at how many narratives that have been created to kind of fester and foster that insecurity, all these narratives like black women don't get married and black women aren't attractive and all these outrageous narratives. Like, and so to hear three strong black women on the show basically like, you know what, this is what it is, this is what it's going to be, hate it or love it, this is me. You know, like, that's beautiful, man. That's beautiful.
Yes. Yeah.
And, Joe, you still a hater, bro.
Hey, man, it's okay. I'm divinely inspired right now. I'm going to be a divinely inspired hater. So you can't touch my light, Pat.
Look, and I don't know why Pat is inspiring me tonight, but I mean he's really doing it for me. But listen, I just want to say this too. I've been writing notes as Stephanie was speaking and as Pat was speaking. And the first thing I want women to understand is that we don't even have it all together, right? Like you think that I gotta get it together. And I'm gonna pick on Mandy and share this little situation. We were talking about, you know, her upcoming thing, and she was like, oh, you know, how am I gonna go out and say this, and I'm going through this. And you know, the thing is that sometimes when the God just needs you to do it, just scared and all, just do it. Sometimes your healing is in the process of you doing it. You speaking and you're doing whatever it is that you're doing. And then also, what you have to realize is that everybody has to play their part in your movie, right? So everybody's not meant to be a supporting cast. Everybody's not meant to be the star role, right? So you're operating up under your producer is God foremost, right? And so you're just acting as well. You have to play your part, and you got to allow others to play their part. So if they want to be a hater, Joe, go ahead. Be the number one hater and do what you do because you got to play your part. Oh, right? And like Stephanie said, those that are there to support, they have to play their part. Those that are there to pray, they have to play their part. Not everybody is supposed to be on the team or is supposed to be a starting role in your movie. And you need to know that.
Right, right. Yeah, that is a lesson that many people have to learn because, I know, as entrepreneurs, when you're starting out and you expect everybody around, you expect all your friends and the people who are closest to you in certain situations, you expect them to be there to support. But like you're saying, you have to learn that everybody has to play their part. And the right people will come into your life when the time is right. You just got to put that faith out and do what you need to do to get where you need to go.
Right.
All right. So, ladies, we're at the point of our show where we ask our world-famous question. We ask everybody this question. Everybody get this question. And this is Pat's specific question. And you know, we started off a little something like this, so it's going.
I love it.
So,
I love it. I gotta get me some intro music, man. I'm asleep.
So, if you were the all-powerful, all-able queens of Black America, what would you change and what would your message to the people be?
Well, I am a queen living in America, and through the help of God, I am going to change some of these people's mindset. But the first thing that I would change would definitely be the mindset and to remove fear from all of my brothers and sisters. And my message would be Philippians 4:13, that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. I need audience. Hello? Come on. I need audience to be like, oh,
no. Yo, told you, man. I told you, man.
There they go.
Oh, hey, there they go. Okay. All right. There we go. But no, seriously, because fear stops us from so many things, and our mindset is just all wrong, where we should be focusing and going back and not like, you know, and I'm not hating on the people that have moved out of the hood because now they've, you know, they're doing well. However, you got to give back. You got to go back. And just like you got to go back and give those children, our people, our fellow brothers and sisters, you got to give them the blueprint so that they can get out and go back and continue helping each other. There's nothing wrong with the hood. There's nothing wrong with, you know, the project. Again, own it, love it, but you got to remove fear from your heart, and we got to change our mindset, man, and want more about out of life versus just the material things that it has to offer.
Okay. What would you change, Mandy?
And that was Team Elise. That was Team Elise. Okay.
Yeah. Mandy, what would your message be?
If I were a leader of Black America for a day, my message would be entrepreneurship. I'm just telling you. I believe in it wholeheartedly, and I believe that it is what builds communities. I do. I believe that it's what, like, communities that have thrived and sustained this long. That's why the Jewish community, their money is so long. That's why their money is so long, and that's why their communities are so strong, because the children take on the job that the parents did. Everybody does something different. Everybody uses their gifts and talents to help each other thrive, you know. And I think that if we could have more of that in the Black community, that we would eliminate a lot of the problems that we have, you know, a lot of the problems that we have in our, like Pat said, a very important point that he was mentioning about the doctors. You know, if we just had a communities within our communities, and those things were accessible, you know, our communities will be, our children will be much better off, our generations will be much better off. I went to Amelia Island a couple of weeks ago, and I was fascinated when I went to Amelia Island because we came across a beach, and it had one of those plaques outside of this house, you know, when you drive past something that's considered like a historic building or historic landmark. And I stopped, and I was like, what does this sign say? And we read the sign, and it was the house of the first black millionaire in Florida. And it was his name was Henry Lewis. And I was in shock. And when we read it, it said that he bought 30 acres of beachfront land and named it American Beach. And I thought that that was so ironic that he named it American Beach. But it was at the time, during Jim Crow, the only beach that was a safe haven for black families to have a safe night's stay when they vacation in Florida. And along the whole beach were all these black businesses, but none of them exist now. And what happened was a storm came through, and they could not afford to rebuild. So quite naturally now, when people mention Amelia Island, you never see any black faces associated with Amelia Island. But it historically was a black, it was founded by black people. It's historically a black community that doesn't even exist anymore. But it was a thriving community at one time. And I just think that our community as a whole would be so much better off if we just taught more entrepreneurship and more leadership, starting from children, how to use their own specific gifts, whether it be healthcare, whether it be finances, whether it be doing something with your hands, whatever it is, we all possess different gifts that can help one another build our community.
Right.
So that would be my message if I were the leader of Black America for a day.
That's what's up. Stephanie.
Hey. If I were the leader of Black America for one day, the first thing that I would change is this spirit and culture of dependency. We cannot depend on anyone else to change our children, our communities. It is our responsibility. They are our communities. They are our babies, and we are responsible for them. So we can't become dependent on a system. We have to create our own system. When I was back in September, I went to Chicago, and on the way to the airport, the Uber, it was like an Uber pool, so we had to stop and pick up another person. And where he was going was to the hood, y'all. I was like, wait a minute. But what I noticed was all these black people in this neighborhood was literally like in shambles. And I'm thinking, yeah, there are a lot of hoods in Chicago, but there's also a lot of money in Chicago. And I'm like, where are all these black celebrities that live here? What are they doing for these people? So I would change that spirit of dependency, because the system's not going to help us. We have to help them. We have to do it. And my message would be that we need to stick together. I don't have to have the same belief system as you in order to fight for the same cause. I like Jesus. Maybe you don't like Jesus. Doesn't matter. We're both black, and we should both love our community and want to fight for our community.
Right.
So that, if I had it for a day, that would be me. Let's stop being dependent on other people, and let's stay unified.
Right, right. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Elise Bethel, Miss Mandy Buckner, Miss Stephanie Glenn. Y'all better, y'all show them some love, our audience. Show them some love.
Oh, I love it, I love it, I love it.
All right, one more time for our listeners. Remember, self-love is the best love for Women Only Self-Care Weekend. It's December 30th from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., December 31st from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and it will be at the Woodville Community Center, which is located at 8000 Old Woodville Road in Tallahassee, Florida. The zip code is 32305. There's a $50 registration fee. The registration dates are November 25th through December 16th, and it's limited to 25 seats, so make sure you visit www.elisebethel.com. That is ELLISEBETHEL.com. So make sure you visit it and go support this event and come out and get you some love for yourself. You know, one more time. We got to get our audience up here one more time. Okay. Yes, yes, yes. We appreciate you all stopping by because this was a great interview. We don't usually just come out and say it like that, but we got to say it. This was a great interview.
Thank you for having us, man. I mean,
no problem.
I want to connect with you guys also. You know, we need to do some things with our youth. I mean, you guys got the young men. We got the young ladies. Let's. It's all about teamwork makes the dream work. Okay.
Oh, all right.
Let's get together.
Yes. Definitely. We definitely have to do that, and we definitely will do that because it's needed in the community. So, we're gonna be talking soon. So, you know, we don't want to keep y'all ladies all night because we'll talk. But we appreciate you coming by the Freedom Train. We definitely look forward to having you on again for things that you guys are doing in the future. This is your home to get your message out.
Well,
thank you so much for having us.
No problem. Thank y'all for stopping by. All right.
Joe got the juice.
Wait, are we
Orange juice.
Joe got the juice.
Orange juice, grapefruit juice. I like cranberry juice, though.
I don't like cranberry juice. Tammy be drinking cranberry juice.
Cranberry juice flush your kidneys out.
I just eat raisins. I don't like raisins. Raisins is an acquired taste for me. I started eating raisins because I didn't want to take laxatives. And then, next thing I knew,
laxatives ain't fun at all. So, nah. Hey, man, but three beautiful, intelligent, smart entrepreneurs, and they came in and they laid it down. Y'all make sure y'all support www.elisebethel.com. You make sure you support And the playback of this will be ready tomorrow. Make sure you visit our website, www.freedomtrainradio.com, to listen to this amazing interview. And you know how we do, man. We appreciate the support. We appreciate everybody listening. And for the stay tuned with the next 2 weeks as we close out this year with the bang. So you know how we do it. I'm Joseph Ward. He's Patrick Irvin. Shout out to our co-host Jamie Busham, who could be here today, but shout out to Jamie. And once again, Miss Elise Bethel, Miss Stephanie Glenn, Miss Mandy Buckner. They are three excellent, beautiful women who put it down. So y'all make sure y'all stick with us. This is the Freedom Train Podcast Series. Two fingers up like a player. And we will see you guys next week. Hey, peace.